versus Holder. Mr. Kreiselman.
May it please the Court. My name is Matthew Kreiselman. I represent the petitioner, Ricardo Yanzan Calma. Mr. Calma was denied his right to have a hearing on his application for adjustment of status before the immigration court because the immigration judge denied him a continuance in order to await the final adjudication of his immigrant visa petition.
Mr. Kreiselman, let me just start you right out. Even if the IJ abused his discretion in denying the continuance, the error would seem to be harmless, it seems to me, because no relief remains available to him after the BIA's denial in the parallel proceeding. I mean, with a final decision on the fraudulent marriage, what relief would be possible if we remanded this to the IJ?
Well, the I-130 was originally denied, it was originally approved by the Immigration Service. It was only later that they reopened the approval of the I-130 and ended up revoking the I-130 petition.
But that's the last proceeding?
That was the last in terms of these proceedings. However, the I-130 petition at this time has been refiled, so there is a pending I-130 petition right now on his behalf, and it hasn't been adjudicated yet by the Immigration Service.
So when you say refiled, what do you mean? Is this some form of reconsideration? Because it seemed to me that the ground on which the board acted isn't something in the past. It's not going to change.
It is something in the past, but often when you have a refiled I-130, you get the chance to have another interview. When a petition is revoked, it's all done by through paper. You actually get to meet with an officer at an I-130 interview. And at that point, because there was never an actual face-to-face meeting with an officer based on these previous charges of fraud, the attorney at that time had never had a chance. He did have a chance to rebut the allegations of fraud, but
from the former wife.
However, it wasn't a face-to-face meeting. It was all done through paper filings.
But look, the BIA has agreed that the first marriage was a fraud. He didn't appeal that finding. What? There's no relief possible for him now.
Well, there would be relief based on the new I-130 petition in the event that that were approved.
But the BIA would have to essentially reconsider what's a final decision that the 1980s era marriage was a fraud. I mean, they would have to. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
If it got to the BIA, they would have to reconsider it. So that's if this new I-130 petition was denied by the Immigration Service, then it would get to the BIA again. At that point, we would actually be able to appeal it to this court. A revoked petition, because it's a discretionary revocation, we can't file a petition for review of the BIA's revocation decision. But if it was denied on the first basis, there would be a chance to appeal it. The BIA, when they made their decision on this case, they didn't consider any of the fraudulent issue. The only considerations they made was based on the long pending visa petition. All they stated was that there's nothing in the record which shows that this revocation has been sent back down or remanded. They just stated that it was still pending, that there was nothing in the record, even though they were the court that was deciding the revocation issue at that time.
But I thought Judge Rovner's point was that now there is, we can take judicial notice of the fact that the BIA has rendered a decision, right?
Yes.
Now there is something.
But when the BIA made their decision, they didn't look at that. They never considered the fact that there was maybe a fraudulent finding at that point. They denied it based on the long pendency of the case rather than any other reason at that time.
Is the affidavit that Pamela Foss executed in this record?
I believe it's in the administrative record. And I think that when she also submitted a subsequent affidavit when the former attorney was appealing the revocation of the visa petition to the BIA. So I think that that's in the record as well.
What did the board mean when it said that the respondent filed a motion for administrative closure for the purpose of repapering?
In some circumstances, someone is eligible for certain relief if they've been here for over 10 years before immigration court proceedings are started. The petitioner would be eligible for a form of relief termed cancellation of removal. However, once someone is served with the original immigration court documents, that clock stops in terms of cancellation of removal. So the petitioner was placed in removal proceedings, or it was deportation proceedings at that time. I think it was in 1987, I believe, when he was only here for 4 years. But if he was reserved his immigration court papers, which sometimes the government will agree, it's up to the government, their discretion to agree to terminate the case, and then they reserve the papers again, and that gives you the new time period allowed, and then he would be eligible for cancellation removal based on his U.S. citizen children as well as his lawful permanent resident wife, which would grant him some form of relief. Right now, his only form of relief available would be adjustment of status through the I-130 petition. So what this court has to
do. So you want the continuance for what?
The continuance based on the fact that he
does. No, what is it you want the continuance for? What would you do during the period of continuance?
We would hope that the immigration.
Not we would hope. What would you do if they give you a continuance?
If they gave us a continuance, we would file. We would continue with proceeding with the I-130 petition.
Well, I don't understand. What would you do? There are no proceedings now.
Well, there's an I-130 petition which is pending. It's been pending for, I think, at least 5 months now. There hasn't been an interview scheduled on that I-130 proceeding.
Now, is that based on his son's?
That's based on his son.
Is that completely separate from the board's ruling?
That is separate from the board's ruling in this case because at this point the Immigration Service has original jurisdiction with a new I-130.
So you're asking for a continuance to allow consideration of the sons? Is that what you're asking for?
Yeah.
That hasn't been ruled on?
Has not been ruled on. There's one still pending. Often when there's a proceeding in another court, they have one physical file, so they don't have a chance to.
Is this the son of the woman he married or someone else?
This is the son of someone else.
Someone else.
But that visa petition was previously approved, and it was only revoked at the time that the petitioner actually asked to reopen his case because it had been administratively closed. So once he had that approved petition, he asked that his case be reopened to consider adjustment of status based on that approved petition. And it was only at his final hearing that the government presented a notice of intent to revoke his petition. So the judge continued the case at that point
For a year,
so that USCIS could make a decision on the revocation at that point. But all these continuances were from the government. He only asked for one actual continuance in this case based on the I-130 proceedings that were going on. All those other continuances were based on the actions of the government. I reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Okay.
Thank you,
Mr. Kreiselman. Ms. Schaffner?
Good morning. May it please the court, Jane Schaffner for the respondent.
I'm going to do something terrible. I'm going to stop you.
Okay.
Because I want to know what your best argument is for our jurisdiction to hear this petition. It's a discretionary denial of continuance, and we would not have jurisdiction to review a denial of the underlying relief sought, the adjustment of status. What's your best argument, taking into account Kukana, the Supreme Court's opinion in Kukana?
The Supreme Court in Kukana.
You argue there's no jurisdiction.
In Kukana, the government did argue that we did not have jurisdiction.
Well, what are you arguing here?
We're arguing that you do have jurisdiction.
Yeah, exactly.
Here.
That's
the other case that they say there's no jurisdiction.
Number five.
Yes.
But I just want to hear.
Yeah.
We're arguing that there's jurisdiction here because Kukana made clear that there is discretion over continuances, or rather, Kukana was decided in the context of a motion to reopen, but it also applies in the context of continuances as well. So there is now jurisdiction over the denial of a discretionary continuance, a discretionary motion to reopen under Kukana. And
now your colleague who presented
you stay a while.
The fifth case. Well, we're not unfortunately going to hear argument in the fifth case. But other people from the Department of Justice are taking the position that jurisdiction over continuances is derivative, essentially, of the underlying relief sought. So if we would have jurisdiction over the underlying relief, then we do have jurisdiction over continuances, and if we wouldn't, then we don't. To put it quickly, the courts of appeals all around the country seem to be all over the map on that question. So I think you can pick and choose authority one way or the other. But it's interesting to inquire why, at least in this case, you've come to the conclusion that there is jurisdiction.
In this case, we were relying on both the Supreme Court's decision in Kukana as well as this court's 2010 decision in Juarez. That's at 549 F 560, which held that there is jurisdiction over the denial of a continuance. For a long time, there.
I don't think that's precise. Yeah, I think what we have held is that if the denial of the continuance extinguishes the ability of the immigration authorities to consider a petition or motion or other request for relief by an immigrant, then it's reviewable because to use a continuance to defeat an immigrant's statutory right to consideration by the immigration authorities is to disrupt the congressional design. Even if the determination on the merits of the petition wouldn't be appealable, wouldn't be judicially reviewable, still the agency has to have an opportunity to consider it. It can't just have it cut off by denial. That was the Subban case where by denying the continuance, because the petition for adjustment of status hadn't been acted on, there was no way that adjustment of status application would ever be determined. But in this case, I suppose what the opponent is arguing is that it's got this son's petition for adjustment of status, and if the continuance is denied, that adjustment of status proceeding will be aborted. Isn't that the argument?
That is his argument.
So what's wrong with that argument?
Well, there are a number of problems with the
argument. Well, how about just one problem, the most serious?
So can I just clarify before you answer that you are not going to say that there's a jurisdictional problem with that argument. You're going to say that there are other problems.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
The chief problem with that argument is that because CIS and now the board have determined that Mr. Kalma previously engaged in marriage fraud, that his 1986 marriage to a U.S. citizen was solely for the purpose of obtaining an immigration benefit, he cannot now or ever have a petition for alien relative approved.
So are you essentially arguing administrative issue preclusion, that no matter how many I-130s he files, that particular fact has been conclusively determined for him?
Yes, to the extent there's a new I-130.
Well, where is that? I mean, I understand if the wife, former wife, whatever, fraudulent wife, filed another one of these petitions, fine. But if it's filed by a child, where in the law is that precluded?
Section 204C of the Immigration Act and at the regs at 8 CFR 204.2A12. In this case, the first wife withdrew her petition.
Did you say 244C or?
I'm sorry, 204C.
Well, that's not in your table of statutes.
At page 113 of the record is the notice.
Well, wait a second. If you're relying on 204C, why isn't it in your, you know, table of contents?
I'm directing the court's attention to that statute in response to.
Look, I'd like to know. Is this in your brief, or is we're now in some other planet?
No, in our.
Well, why isn't it in your brief?
In our brief, we did not include a cite to that statutory.
Well, thanks a lot. I mean, how are we supposed to evaluate your argument if you don't give us the statute?
We did, however, include a cite to the notice of intent to
revoke.
Look,
I don't care what you included. You get up. I asked you, what's the major ground for saying he can never have an adjustment of status? And you say it's something called 204C. You haven't discussed it in your brief.
What we discussed in our brief was.
Well, why didn't you discuss this in your brief when you said this is your major ground?
We discussed.
Would you tell me why you didn't discuss 204C when you've just told me it's your major ground?
We didn't cite this statute because we were citing the CIS decision that relies on this statute. CIS revoked the petition that Mr. Kalma's son filed because he had previously engaged in marriage fraud. The board then affirmed that decision, finding that.
Where is that affirmance? Is that the decision we're reviewing or something else?
We attached that as an addendum to our brief. The decision.
This is this notice of revocation of petition in your brief. I see 204C is cited there, back of the brief.
That decision also appears in the record at page 116.
Right, but in your actual brief, the board decision refers to 204C. I'm looking at it. I mean, it's.
Is that the 2010 decision?
February 2, 2010. Okay. Says this information indicated that approval of the current petition is barred by section 204C of the Act, 8 U.S.C. section 1154C. See also this reg you cited.
So Mr. Kalma's son filed a petition on his behalf, which was revoked in 2008. Mr. Kalma is now arguing that they filed a second petition, but that petition cannot be approved. The first petition was revoked because of the prior marriage fraud. This new petition cannot be approved because of the prior marriage fraud.
And that's just, I mean, and I just want to be clear, because it's your position that the question whether there was prior marriage fraud cannot be reopened, even if Ms. Foss got on the stand and swore that she was lying when she executed her affidavit in 1986 or whenever it was, in 1987. It's your position that once that factual question is determined, it can't be reopened?
Those are final decisions, yes. And with respect to the issue of administrative closure,
in other words, if she came in and via affidavit or however said a gun was held to my head and the trigger was cocked and that's why I did this, there's nothing in this world that could help. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm reluctant to say that there's nothing in this world that could help, but I do.
Well, then that's the answer.
I see that my time is ended. I would ask that the court find that the board and the IJ acted within their discretion in denying Mr. Kalma's request for further continuance where no relief is available to him or will be available to him.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Schaffner. So, Mr. Kreiselman?
Um, Thank you. In terms of your question before whether or not a new I-130 could be approved, from experience, I-130s that had previous 204C determinations have been approved in the past by my office. It's just if you're in the new I-130 proceeding, if you're able to rebut the previous fraud allegation, they will approve the I-130. We haven't had the chance in this case to get to that point yet, but the I-130 was filed. So,
well, I don't understand. So, look, you didn't cite 204C either. But
does it harm you? Does 204C harm you?
It does harm me in the way that if there is a 204C allegation, according to the Immigration Service, then they can deny any consequent visa petition based on that 204C finding from a previous visa petition.
But you're saying they can, but it's not mandatory?
It's,
so they've overridden that sometimes?
They have overridden it sometimes. What I'm saying also is that if they make a finding that maybe the previous
understand.
Finding
so you just file petition after petition after petition? They said the son's petition is no. I mean, this is this opinion at the end of the government's brief says the son's petition is no good. Right? Now, why isn't that the end of it? You're going to file another petition by another son or something?
Well,
or
we filed the petition from the same.
How can you keep filing the same petition over and over and over and over again? There has to be some finality.
There does, Your Honor.
Well, what's your basis for filing a new petition?
We wish to present evidence. Sometimes when you have an immigration officer, if you're able to present new evidence and actually give testimony in front of the officer.
I don't understand that. Look, I mean, I realize it's a totally screwed up system. But how can you have a situation where he files a petition, the son files the petition, the district director revokes it, the board appeals, I mean, the board affirms. So, and then you just start over? You have it file another petition?
In this case, I understand that you can't. Obviously, you can keep filing petitions, but this court shouldn't have to continue a case if just to keep filing petition after petition after
petition.
Okay,
but you want to file a new petition. Now, what's the basis for your?
In this new petition, we hope to get a hearing in front of an officer where we're able to explain the facts.
Well, why didn't you why didn't you ask for that in the previous petition?
In the first petition, when there was an interview based on the U.S. citizen son, in the first case, it was approved. Immigration at that point never brought up any 204C issue. They never brought up any
fraud.
Well,
did you complain to the board when you appealed?
That was brought up on the appeal, in the appeal of the board.
Well, they turned it down, right?
They turned it down, however.
Well, and then did you go to a court and say that that was improper?
It's a discretionary decision to revoke.
So you couldn't go to a court. So that's the end of it. That's the end of it.
But if we, in a new
visa petition proceeding. No, it's not. It's the end. I think. Anyway. Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Kreiselman and Ms. Schaffner.
Thank you for your time.